Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting of the University City City Council to order at 6:30 on June 24th. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crow.
Here. Before you, you have the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Motion made by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there any discussion? Sir.
Mayor Crow, thank you. And I do want to go ahead and state that my previous request to have the ordinance for the chicken ordinance amendment move to the next council meeting, I will go ahead and agree to have that read and to do the first reading tonight, and then we'll delay the second and third.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations. I did want to take just a moment, if I could. We don't typically do this, but I think in University City, you know, in our neighboring community, Wellston, we had a tragedy yesterday in the murder of Michael Lansdorf, who was part of the North County Police Cooperative. Our police officers and our firefighters took a moment and joined in the procession by covering the Olive and 170 bridge as he was escorted across. Our hearts go out to his fiance and the two children that he left behind. We have no appointments. We have no approval of minutes. Do we have Diane Clark here for swearing in? If she would please come forward.
I, Diane Clark, do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution.
Repeat the same thing I said.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the State of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the State of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
Congratulations, and thank you for your service.
Thanks.
If you could step right over here.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Thank you very much. We will now move forward to the first section of citizen participation. This is for non-agenda items. When you step to the microphone, if you would please give your name and address, and the time limit is 5 minutes, and we ask that you respect the time limits. Thank you very much. The first person requesting to speak on a non-agenda item is Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse.
It was pretty sad at the last council meeting to see the council approve the Olive 170 development. What a terrible process that had been for more than a year leading up to the vote. Citizens have been deceived. Information and documents have been kept covered up. Citizens have been attacked for speaking against the development. Citizens and members of the clergy have been attacked for suggesting a community benefits agreement. Citizens have been interrupted and harassed when addressing both the TIF Commission and the Council. The Attorney General's office has investigated violations of the Sunshine Law, and city officials have shamelessly deceived the public about the project over and over. Never has University City government looked so bad. Last December, I mentioned all the vacant storefronts, vacant buildings, and vacant land on the east end of the city where nothing seems to be happening. The amount of revenue lost to the city has to be considerable. Not much has changed in 6 months while so much time and effort has been spent to destroy so much of the west end of the city. In the Loop, the old Cicero space has now been vacant for 2 years. It's pretty bad when the premier spot in the Loop has been vacant this long. Just east of the old Cicero's, there's a vacant space where Randolph's used to be. A little further east is a vacant space where Soul and Blues used to be before closing about 9 months ago. The two upper floors in the building are vacant as St. Andrew's Senior Services moved out. On the south side of Delmar, just east of Regions Bank, are two vacant storefronts. One previous tenant, Head and Threads, moved to Overland Plaza. A little further east, the old Bread Company space is still vacant. MacArthur's took over the space, but it was closed over a year ago. Further east of 6602 Delmar, there are four vacant retail spots in the two-story building. Just east of Westgate, Phoenix Rising closed after 26 years last summer, and the space is still vacant. The Riverfront Times called it the coolest shop in the Loop. Just east of that space is another vacant retail space. Going west of the Loop on the corner of Delmar and Midland, there are two vacant storefronts. They've been vacant for some time. Going to Olive and North and South, the northeast corner is still vacant where a beer garden had been planned. At Midland and Olive, the city bought the property and tore down the strip center on the northwest corner nearly 10 years ago. The land has been vacant ever since. Further east on Olive, there are three vacant storefronts in the Schnook Strip Center. Going east to Ferguson and Olive, there is an old gas station on a corner that has been vacant for years. There is a vacant spot next to it. A block east is another vacant building. On Olive, between Kingsland and Westgate, on the south side of the street, there are acres of vacant, undeveloped land. The two auto storage lots in the area, which look more like junkyards, should have never been allowed. The same city government that is failing so badly to do anything about all the vacant storefronts, buildings, and land in the eastern end of the city claims it is going to produce a great development in Olive and 170. It's easy to see why so many are skeptical. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Next request to speak is Lisa Brenner.
Good evening. Lisa Brenner, 507 North Central Avenue. I'm here on behalf of the school board. I just want to report a few things that we've done in May and June. We had in May a review of our operating budget for the year 2019-20. It will be approximately $43,680,000. Our money comes 76% from local taxes, 15.1% from state taxes, 7.1% from federal monies, and approximately 1.1% from county, and then there's a few others. And just to know that about 70% of our budget goes into human capital, so that's where most of our expenditures are. This next coming year, we are predicted to run a deficit and are concerned about perhaps falling below a 15% fund balance. So we will be looking at our budget in the upcoming years. Then in June is our time to prepare for this coming year, and there were a number of memorandum of understandings that we have in partnerships with other agencies. The first one was Lutheran Family Services, who provide excellent mental health services to our children. We also entered into an agreement with Brentwood School District so that their athletes could swim with our team next year and expand our team, which has been low on numbers. We have the pool. They do not, so it kind of worked out. We also entered into some agreements that will help advance our children's experiences and professions. One is an agreement called CAPS, the Center for Advancement of Professional Studies. And we're into an agreement with Brentwood, Ledoux, Clayton, and ourselves to provide more professional learning experiences for our kids. We also have been doing the NAF Ready Labs and have students placed at internships this summer with Worldwide Technologies and MasterCard and one other place, which I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But we entered into an agreement with Jennings so that we could pay those stipends for those internships. So those are paid internships this summer. And then finally, we did decide to upgrade our vehicle fleet. Many of our vehicles, the majority of our vehicles, were over 15 years old. A couple of them were actually over 20 years old. So we entered into an agreement with Enterprise Leasing for a five-year lease process to renew our fleet every 5 years and get a whole new fleet, so with minimal impact on our budget. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Rosalind Williams.
Rosalind Williams, 7408 Chamberlain Avenue. I wasn't sure I was going to speak tonight, but having attended the work session with the Planning Commission and City Council, I thought I had to speak up. I was on the advisory committee for the last comprehensive plan, and I probably helped disrupt the flow of that planning document by talking about equity and the plan that was underway had no consideration for equity, and the guide for the whole consultant was not guided by the staff to even realize that there are differences within this city and that there are different outcomes in different neighborhoods, and we can talk about students in the first ward versus the third ward, which is primarily just racism. We can have the same goals for all neighborhoods, which a comprehensive plan usually does, but the outcomes are quite different. And unless we recognize those differences so that we can have strategies to overcome those challenges, we're not going to have equity in this city. This city may be diverse, but it is very segregated. And until people come to that understanding, we can talk about all the comprehensive plans we want. We've had many. And still the third ward, over time, has been deteriorating a little by little. And I don't want to be a shocker, but I think we need to have action on the third ward. I'm not talking about different goals that the comprehensive plan may come up with. I'm talking about strategies for making sure that the third ward is enjoying the same opportunities and goals that the rest of the city is implementing. And what I want to kind of give you an analogy of is that when you say that we can wait for a plan for the third ward, and I mean a real strategy for countering all of the outside forces as well as the internal, when you say that, it's saying to people after the Board of Education that you can wait for integration. We have time. We do not have time in the third ward to wait for a comprehensive plan and then decide what we're going to do following the comprehensive plan. We already know what needs to be done. We need a plan now. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Gerald Tears.
Thank you. Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain.
You have recently given the selected developer, Novus, permission to start the Olive 170 development project. This does not, however, mean that the responsibility of the city with regard to this project is over with. In many ways, your work is just starting. I've heard that some in city government even do not trust Novus. That does not matter anymore. You selected Novus to do the project. You decided that Novus was suitable, capable, and acceptable. You have already trusted Novus. The issue of trust is over and done with. The time for cooperation is here. University City has a terrible reputation among developers, builders, and contractors. Many prefer not to or won't work in U City. Delays, surprises, plain failure to cooperate on many levels have been cited as issues. If this project gets bogged down in such problems, you can pretty much forget about any further development in U City. Nobody's going to want to come here. Don't let that happen. It's up to you, the City Council, through our City Manager, to assure that every level of city government is focused on providing the needed and lawful city support to assure project success. And it is not only the developer who needs the full support of the city. The city is allowing Novus to take a significant number of residences and businesses. The city says it wants those displaced residents and businesses to stay in U City. Admirable thought. What are you doing to accomplish that in a practical way? You should already have started. Do not merely depend on following the letter of the TIF law. You need to be creative leaders in relocating those who are displaced. People will be watching. They will remember your actions or inactions. Now is the time for outreach to the landlords and property sellers, as well as those persons and businesses that are being displaced. The city can do a lot for its poor reputation by being proactive in matching up displaced residents and businesses with available properties. It may not be too late to start a serious effort at retaining those who are being displaced. It's time that U City, for once, follows through completely on what it has promised. This is the largest U City project in at least 40 years, and is very important to the city. We want a professionally completed, socially and commercially successful project that brings the benefits which we all agree are wanted. People are watching and making decisions for the future. They need to know that U City can and will cooperate without compromising our standards. They need to know that U City is not just abandoning those who are displaced by this project or the next project. There has been much made about the change in the City Council, a new professional city manager, new staff, and a new attitude. It's now up to you to follow through, to allow and facilitate the work of your staff, and show leadership in facilitating the success of this project. Remember, success for the project is success for University City. Your actions in the next few months will significantly affect the success of the project, and particularly the success of its intended benefits in Ward 3 and the Olive Corridor. We need effective planning and action to bring that success. U City has a chance to stand out as a progressive place, helping all of its residents and businesses. Will you take up the challenge? Thank you.
That concludes this portion of citizen participation. We'll now move into new business. We have before us resolution number 2019-7. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Ms. Carr, is seconded by Mr. Hales. We have one request to speak by a citizen on this bill, as I recall. Ms. McQueen. Okay.
Hello. My name is Patricia McQueen. I live at 1132 George Street. Thank you, Mayor, councilpersons, and staff. I just wanted to say two things about the budget, and it mainly is about the capital improvement plan. I would like to see the citywide space needs study moved up from FY 2021 to FY 2020. And I would like to see the police station construction moved up from FY 2022 to FY 2021. And these are my reasons. One, I know that constructing a new police facility or renovating is going to be a generational move. And I know in order to move it forward, we need to look at our citywide space needs. I did hear that, because we need to know what's going to happen with this building, what's going to happen with the building that used to be the library that's been sitting vacant. I just don't want to see happen here in University City that I saw over almost like a generation of the train, the Amtrak train that was downtown. I remember, as a little girl, seeing trains at the original station. And then they said, well, we're going to put up a temporary station. And it was supposed to be temporary. And we call it a tin shack. That thing sat there for decades. And only recently was a new station put in place. I don't want to see that happen. Yes, the station right now is wonderful compared to what they were working out of when I was part of the first, well, part of us, the Citizen Police Academy, and got to see how they operated in the old annex. It was horrible. It had hurt my health because I'm very, very sensitive to mold. And I'm glad they're out of there. And I don't want them going back into anything like that. I want a state-of-the-art police facility for our police because they protect me and they protect my neighbors and they protect all of us. So I want this to move a little faster. I know that, you know, you can't move too fast, but we've been waiting quite a while. So I would like to see that moved up in the budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a resolution before us that has been motioned and seconded. I believe the city manager, do you have some amendments you'd like us to consider?
Honorable Mayor and council members, yes. I have a few amendments that I am requesting, and then one I would present from the city council subcommittee and the chair of that subcommittee to comment on if he feels the need to. With regards to the amendments that I'm proposing to add $5,500 out of general fund for the ITN program, $30,000 out of the capital fund, which would move up the citywide space needs study to FY 2020, $15,000 from the Loop Special Business District Fund, the fund balance, to fund a strategic plan, which is required by state statute as well as your codes, as well as $26,349 for general fund to cover a portion of the sports coordinator position. That is a position that we are proposing to work with the school district to try and fully fund. Those are the requests that I would recommend. The council subcommittee is asking for $50,000 out of general fund for an economic slash fiscal impact study. And all of those amendments are proposed for FY 2020.
You have a number of items that the city manager has listed. Is there a member of council who is willing to make the motion to either include any or all of the items mentioned by the city manager? Mr. Smotherson, you so move?
So move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? You have a motion. This will simply be on the amendment. Then after we do the motion on the amendment, then we'll do the budget as amended.
The amendment is for to it's, include all.
It's for all. He all rolled. The motion made by Mr. Smotherson rolled all of the items on the listed by the city manager, including the subcommittee report. There's a motion. There's a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye. The ayes have it. We now have before us the 2019 Resolution 7 as amended, which will be adopting the Fiscal Year 20 Annual Operating Budget and Capital Improvement Plan. The motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion on the plan as amended? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move to Resolution 2019-8. Who would make the motion? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there any discussion on the budget carry forward items? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Let's make sure I'm doing it. That was later. Okay. Next one we have is Resolution Number 2019-9, Recycling Anti-Contamination Campaign. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We now will have the first reading of Bill Number 9387. Is there a motion to introduce? Introduced by Mr. Cusick. Madam Clerk, would we have the first reading of Bill Number 9387?
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage, and repealing Ordinance Number 7098.
Thank you very much. We now have before us Bill Number 9388. Is there a motion to introduce? Mr. Clay, thank you very much. Can we please have the first reading of Bill Number 9388?
An ordinance amending Sections 510.6.060 and 510.080 of the University City Municipal Code regarding development plans and tax abatement or exemption pursuant to Chapter 353 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri.
Thank you very much. Who would like to introduce Bill Number 9389? Mr. McMahon. Madam Clerk, would you have the first reading of Bill Number 9389?
An ordinance amending Chapter 210, Article 1, Animals Generally, of the Municipal Code of the City of University City by amending Sections 210.030 thereof relating to chickens, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. We have one request to speak on Bill Number 9389, Joanna Hill.
Hi, my name is Johanna Hill, 507 North Central Avenue. I've lived in U City for my whole life. I graduated from U City High School in 2017. I'm now in college studying environmental studies with an emphasis on food justice. So this bill is of great interest to me. I've also wanted to keep chickens for about as long as I can remember. So I'm really excited about this bill, and I'd like to express my support for it going forward. This is really beneficial from both a social and environmental standpoint, as allowing people to grow and raise and interact with their own food is incredibly empowering and important for individuals, for families, and for our local food system as a whole. The previous legislation on raising chickens in U City was incredibly restrictive, so I'm really excited to see that U City is taking these steps to allow people to raise chickens in our city, and also joining the City of St. Louis, who has already passed a bill very similar to this and has seen some success there. So I know this is just a first reading, but I hope that you will support this bill going forward and whenever it does come up for a vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next bill is Bill Number 9390. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson. May we have the first reading, Madam Clerk?
An ordinance amending Section 115.270 of the City of the University City Municipal Code relating to parks and recreational facilities designated by designating the dog park, the dog play area, as a park. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. That concludes this portion of the agenda. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Is there any member of council who has an item to report either from one of their commissions or items to bring forward? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I think recently we all should have and received this flyer in our refuse bill from the University City, and it's talking about recycling. And I would encourage everyone to please read this, especially the back, to talk about the things that are not supposed to be in the recycling bin. Apparently, there's quite a problem with contamination of our recycling material. If we're going to go through the trouble of recycling, we need to do it correctly. The number one thing is no plastic bags. So everyone should have received this. Please be familiar with it. And please heed this, because the contamination of our recycling is a big problem right now. Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick announcement. Arts and Letters concert is going on right now. So again, and that's over at 8:30 in Heman Park. And tonight's band is the Convertibles. But there's one piece of business that I wanted to announce, and that is that the Hazel Irby and Lisa Clancy are holding a town hall meeting June 27th on property tax assessment, and Jake Zimmerman will be there. And so again, that's June 27th, and that's being held at the library, and I believe it's 7 o'clock. I'm not sure of the time, but I just wanted to get that announcement out. Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. I want to offer my apologies to my colleagues on the council and to the public. Last Monday was a senior commission meeting. I was unable to attend as we had a budget study session. Ordinarily, I would have the notes from that. By the next meeting, I did not do so. So in the next meeting, Mayor Crow, I will have a report out from the senior commission.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to piggyback on my colleague, Mr. Smotherson's announcement about this discussion on tax rates. Previously, my colleague, Mr. Hales, asked some questions about the rather large increases that were being noted across the county and city. And within the city, Mr. Cross put together an analysis for us, and it looks like essentially that the first ward showed an approximate increase of 30% in the appraised land values and an approximately 19% increase in the improvement values. So improvement means the building that is standing on your piece of land. And the reason I mentioned specifically Ward 1 is because the next thing I want to talk about is a tie-in to Washington University. So just out of curiosity, we know that Castle Ray was recently renovated and that Washington University put that on the tax rolls in 2017 so that they could apply for historic tax credits, which I assume that if they haven't already gotten, they will shortly, so that about 40% of the money that they put into the renovation comes from your tax dollars, although heretofore they had been paying no taxes on this. So I gave the council a couple of pieces of information that come off the county website on the Castle Ray, which was, by the way, just beautifully done. But it looked like the land value did not increase. So the average across the city was 28% for increasing land value. Now it looks like the improvement or the building itself did increase from 2018 to 2019 from 2.76 million to 4.76 million six. And the reason, of course, was that massive renovation. There are about 62 or 3 units in the Castle Ray. I think there were fewer previously. My question is this, or my statement is this. Washington University bought the property in 2007 and paid $5.2 million. That is also on the tax rolls. They then went to negotiate a lower tax rate. They were off the tax rolls, but they went to negotiate a lower value for the property, claiming that it wasn't, it was obsolete and there were some problems with it, et cetera, et cetera. They paid market value, it was $5.2 million. They got it down to $2.7 million. I do not know what will happen because it hasn't been determined whether the tax rates the assessments are finalized yet. They should be finalized sometime soon. But if so many of us are experiencing a 15 to, in some cases, 50% increase in property taxes, and Washington, and some of us have done nothing to our houses over the last 2 years, and Washington University, that arguably owns a gorgeous piece of property in probably one of the most desirable areas in our city, Civic Plaza, sees no increase in land assessment appraisal and an increase that they should see in improvement because they invested $15 million or so in that renovation. So I'm, I guess my question is to the county assessor on what basis, but it does affect us. And it's one of those things we have just given approval in the budget in terms of supporting a financial impact study from Washington University. And so I think this is one of the cases. Now, admittedly, I did not look at all of the 30-some properties that they own in Parkview Gardens in terms of what the assessments are. I did not look at all the other properties that they own in Ward 1. But this one stands as a glaring difference to what most of us are experiencing in terms of tax assessments. So I just wanted to introduce that to you and to let you know that citywide, according to Mr. Cross, the total appraised land values from 2018 to 2019 showed an approximately 28% increase. And that was just the land value, while the improvement values, meaning the building values, showed an approximate 14% increase. And I think this one stands as an outlier. The Castlereagh stands as an outlier to what most of us are experiencing. Thank you.
Anything else to report under council reports and business? Hearing none, we have no further requests to speak from citizens. Are there council comments to be made this evening? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I just wanted to take a personal moment and introduce my oldest son, Nathan Smotherson, who's sitting back there in the corner. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I haven't seen him in 6 months because he just got back from his Asia tour. And with Holland American Cruise Lines, and he is a musician, specifically a drummer, and he has been to Europe, Asia, and I mean he's walked the China Wall, and he's been to Russia, and I'm absolutely proud of him, happy to see him after 6 months, and he's off again to another country in the middle of July. So I just wanted to take this personal moment to say welcome home, my son, Nathan.
Nathan, welcome. Welcome. Gosh, that's quite a welcome home for you. Not everybody gets that. That's pretty good. And thanks for coming to our city council meeting tonight. Was it a slow night for you, maybe? I don't know. Councilmember Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. One of the things I wanted to lift up, I was certainly always pleased to hear from our friends at the school district, but one of the things that particularly piqued my interest was the fact that they are leasing vehicles or in the process of leasing vehicles, which is a process that we are looking to undertake with our home inspectors. And this issue of school district city collaboration has come up since my time on the school board beginning in 2008 and undoubtedly predates that. But I think it is something now that we have a little bit more capacity, not that Olive 170 is over, because we know it will never be over. But now that the redevelopment agreement is past us, things like collaboration with the school district, where it makes sense, I think is something I would really like us to explore. Again, the circumstances for these leasing vehicle arrangements may be completely different, but I think it may be worth a conversation to say, hey, you're getting vehicles, we're getting vehicles, maybe we can do something. I don't know. But I would like to see that kind of begin to be baked in to what we do, where it makes sense to do so. Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I'd like to follow up on what Councilmember Carr brought up concerning the Castleway Apartments in Washington University and the reason that we asked the city manager to put the $50,000 into the budget so that we could have an outside agency perform an economic impact study to specifically address the issues of the imbalance that there seems to exist with Washington University owning so much property in University City. Every piece of property that Washington University owns, as everyone knows, is not for profit, and if it's off the tax rolls, it's not paying taxes. So consequently, those of us that do pay personal property taxes in University City, real estate taxes, are paying for the higher education of Washington University students. I would like to think that this impact study that we'll be doing will follow up on the study that was completed in 2015 and presented to the council. And in that study, the University City residents that put that original study together demonstrated that in 2015 there was approximately $1.6 million to $1.86 million in untaxed property or in tax loss property by Washington University, and in 2018 it could rise as much as $1.87 million to $2.16 million that we are losing because of the tax-exempt property that Washington University has in University City. So I'm just pleased to see that we will be moving forward and to address this issue. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I think that this is a good follow-up to the original study that was done, and I look forward to seeing what those results will be. Thank you.
Any other member of council? Hearing none, I just have two brief remarks to make. First, I would direct your attention to my right, your left. We have hung the portrait of Mayor Shelley Welsh. She served on council from 2002 to 2006, and then served as mayor from 2010 to 2018. Many of you know that she helped create, long before she was on council, the Returning Artist Program back in 1994, and was very active in the original organization of the Green Center. Her service to our community exceeds 20 to 30 years, and so we have now hung her portrait here with the rest of the previous mayors. I also want to just briefly let you know that beginning next week, we will be sending out our citizen satisfaction survey. This survey will be sent to a representative selection of residents in University City with the goal of gathering opinions and inputs on our priorities, programs, and services. The information requested in this survey will be used to improve and expand existing programs and determine the future needs of residents of University City. We understand it's lengthy. It's about 50 questions. But the time you invest in this survey will influence decisions made about the city's future. So if you receive one, we hope that you will take the time to thoughtfully answer the questions and send it back in the postage prepaid envelope that will be provided. Thank you very much. And with that, a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you.